Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the people I admire most in that battle space is our first guest, Diana West, a longtime syndicated columnist, blogger par excellence at dianawest.net, and best-selling author of Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, the secret assault on our nation's character. Diana, welcome. Always good to have you with us, but most especially today.
Well, thank you, Frank. Good to be with you as always.
I say most especially today because you have just recently written a very important piece about why nations extinguish themselves. And before we get to the thrust of that piece and how we are in the process of extinguishing ourselves, I want to talk about an institution that I used to serve in and love, namely the United States Senate, which seems to be in the process of extinguishing itself as well. Talk a little bit about the decision of, most especially, 11 Republican members of the Senate yesterday to vote down a piece of legislation, an amendment offered by Senator Ron Johnson that would have required what the president is cooking up with Iran to be handled as a treaty requiring a two-thirds majority vote in favor to be approved by the United States Senate.
Yes, well, this proposal would have been a splendid addition to our national security and also the cause of democratic government. We would have seen whether the Senate could have mustered the required 67 votes to approve such a treaty as required. And yet we see the spectacle, and I call it a spectacle, and I think that's actually a nice word for it, of 11 Republicans voting to cede their constitutional powers back to the executive branch. In other words, voting themselves into the inert state of being a rubber stamp.
My exact thought. And to the extent that they're doing this, it is contributing to truly the extinguishing of the Senate as a check and balance, as a means of quality control for this constitutional republic. Because, as you know so well, Diana, the framers understood that you could mutate the Constitution through treaties. And as we'll be talking about in the course of the program, not just in this context, but also later with Rick Manning about this trade promotion authority business, we may be seeing the Senate essentially, as you say, reduced to more or less a blank check for this president rather than a check and balance. And Diana, to the extent that we're witnessing this playing out, how does this fit into the larger problem that you've described of the nation itself perhaps in the process of extinguishing itself?
It's more evidence of the betrayal of our nation, of our institutions, coming from the very side, the right, conservatives, the Republican Party, that one would expect to stand up for these very institutions and indeed for the nation. The left does what the left does best, that is collectivize, centralize power, attempt to change the Constitution into something that it was not intended to be, intending to make the president into a kind of dictator or king or imperial power. This is what we're living through. And when we see surrender coming from our own side, which I would call this spectacle of the 11 senators voting against making the Iran deal a treaty, this makes the betrayal all the worse because we're not just fighting in a good, clean fight to preserve the Constitution. We are actually from within, by our own hand, to borrow a phrase, destroying ourselves. And this is how nations extinguish themselves. It's not from the external threat. It's not from political opposition. It's from our own surrender, our own moral cowardice on our own side. And this is what makes it so painful and also what makes it so speedy.
You have, of course, referred there to a phrase taken from a Muslim Brotherhood strategy document. It was called the Explanatory Memorandum on the General Strategic Goal of the Group in North America, dated 1991, which explicitly says the mission of the Muslim Brotherhood is to destroy Western civilization from within by their hands, and meaning ours. And Diana, this is particularly apt because today, a paragon of courage, a man you and I both admire tremendously, Geert Wilders, a Dutch parliamentarian, is to be meeting with people in the United States Congress. I myself plan to be there. I trust you will be as well. But the point is that this individual was kept from coming to Britain a few years back, and two members of Congress with long ties to the Muslim Brotherhood themselves. I'm speaking of Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison and Indiana Congressman Andre Carson. Have tried to keep him out of the United States as well. What is up with that? And for that matter, what is up with the fact that Nancy Pelosi put this Muslim Brotherhood-tied individual, Andre Carson, on the House Intelligence Committee?
Well, these are good questions, and if we had a functioning Congress, we would actually have investigations to answer these questions. We have to sit on the outside and glean what we can and do what kinds of investigations we can. But, I mean, this is staggering, just watching these things fall into place. And when you actually see them trying to flex their muscles and prevent Geert Wilders from coming to the United States, coming to the Congress, it just makes it clear how emboldened these forces are and how dangerous that is. Now, I fully expect here to come and to speak and to have a wonderful event sponsored by Representatives Louis Gohmert and Steve King, both fine Republicans who champion liberty and champion Wilders. So what is it all about? Well, it's a symbol and it's a marker and it's a way of taking this fight forward, and it's very dangerous, and we just have to be all the more vigilant here in terms of exposing them, of discussing what's going on, of trying to make it clear to people what kind of game is being played. This is the extinction of speech, political will, and will to survive. What Wilders does in Europe is what I wish someone would do here, which is stand up for his country within his borders, his national culture, his national government, his entire patrimony. And we do not really see many politicians in America conceive of America in these terms. This is the effect of globalism, multiculturalism, and so on, which is so conditioned, even well-meaning politicians and pundits to fail in these same ways. And that's why Wilders is so special, and he is having stunning successes over the years. Given the vilification campaigns against him, it's astonishing how his party continues to grow and continues to be at or near the top of the Dutch political polls. We may someday, in a good world, see him form a coalition government and be prime minister. I mean, this is not outside the realm of possibility.
From your lips to God's ears, it's certainly needed in his country, and as is his example in ours. I would trade all 11 of these members of the Senate who voted essentially to give Iran the bomb, effectively, for this one courageous Dutch parliamentarian, if it could be arranged. We'll be looking forward, as program airs, we will have had the opportunity to visit with Geert, and I hope that we'll have him on the show again soon. But Diana, lastly, just a quick question. As the Senate was voting to essentially allow Iran to get the bomb through this process, it had seized a vessel that America apparently has a responsibility to protect. I think it's the case that it was flagged by the Marshall Islands. If this is how Iran is behaving without the bomb, what might we expect, briefly, when they get it?
Aggression. Hostility, violence, mayhem, annihilation, in a nutshell.
That's brief and very much to the point, and I fear we're all on notice about this. This is not going to be a mystery if it does in fact play out. The Iranians couldn't have done more. Really, not since Adolf Hitler, I think, have we seen anybody telegraph their punches quite as dramatically about such horrific intentions as have the Iranian mullahs. Diana, we have to leave it at that for the moment. We will, of course, be watching this space and watching most especially your outstanding blog at dianawest.net. Keep up the great work and most especially your efforts to help us all understand the magnitude, the extent, and the implications of the ongoing American betrayal. Next up, Matt Brodsky joins us. We'll talk with him a bit about this Iran business and most especially the implications of our government giving Iran tens of billions of dollars, even as it behaves in this fashion and threatens worse. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.